When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there and welcome to Just Films and That. This is the podcast that celebrates films we reckon might be underrated or underseen. I'm your host for this week, Alice Oliver, and this week's film is Big Daddy from 1999. So let's see what we reckon. All right then, Josh, you chose this one. Big Daddy.
Yep.
You are a Big Daddy.
Nope.
We're not sticking with that.
We aren't sticking with that.
I don't know, I like it.
I think it's got
sweet, sweet ring to it. Okay, no. Adam Sandler actually is the Big Daddy.
He is.
This film is from 1999, so spoiler warning, listeners, if you haven't seen it yet. So, Josh, do tell us, what is the film about and why did you pick it?
Yeah, so what's it about? Adam Sandler plays an Adam Sandler character. He's sort of very immature, very lazy and sort of just lazying his way through life, not really doing anything with his life, living off the fact that he won a massive payout from an accident. And one day a young boy turns up at his door who is the son of his roommate, but his roommate is already working away. So he has to look after the little boy. And in doing so, they save each other.
Oh,
that's sort
beautiful.
Of like, it's that thing, you know, it's that formula. Yeah. Why did I pick this one? So a couple of reasons. So we've done a serious Adam Sandler film.
We have, haven't we? Maybe the most serious.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. So Rain Over Me, which we did a while ago, which left a lasting impression on both of us at the time. And we have done a comedy Adam Sandler film, but it was before you came on board. So I thought it's about time we did another comedy Adam Sandler film because, you know, he does get a lot of stick. And I think this is one of his best ones. It is not well rated.
Okay.
That's what I'll say. So I think this is, it's not underseen because I'm fairly certain it was fairly successful at the time. And a lot of people, I think, have seen it. But I think it's critically underrated. And I do as well, before we sort of go on, I have a huge affection for this film. It's probably my favourite Adam Sandler film.
So this will
probably frame my feelings. So there may well be one of these sort of nostalgia-driven episodes where I'm talking about how much I love it and you just cannot see what I'm getting at. Equally, you might have liked it. I don't know. I'm actually interested to know what you thought about this, because it is quite schmaltzy, it is quite cheesy in places. Had you seen it before?
I had not seen it before, no. So I was certainly interested. I mean, very excited at the title, I must say, Josh. But yes, I was very interested to see what this was all about. And overall, like, I thought it was pretty good. Like, it didn't blow me away, but I didn't hate it. And I think my list of things that I did like about it and the positive aspects of it are probably more prominent than the negative ones. So that's good.
Okay.
So you said then you feel like you've got quite an emotional connection to this film. So tell me a bit about that. Where does that come from?
So I remember watching it when I was a kid, so probably when I was, well, it came out in 1999, so I probably watched it a lot when I was sort of 10 or 11. I remember thinking it was really funny, but also really sort of emotionally heartwarming and engaged and stuff like that. And then when I moved to uni, my flatmates and me loved, like, we all had that thing where we'd all watched it and we'd quote it to each other.
So
a little bit of that going on. I have a lot of fondness for, like, all the different silly little quotes and stuff that come up for it, you know. And it's not, when you think of those films, the films that people quote to each other, you're probably thinking more like, I don't know, Anchorman, Bridesmaids, or, you know, more classic films like, I don't know, Princess Bride, you know, things like that. I don't think Big Daddy with Adam Sandler in it from 1999 is really coming up in that sense. So it very much reminds me of that sort of not a nice time in my life when I was, you know, I was 18, living away from home the first time, just going to the pub all the time and coming back and sticking an Adam Sandler film on or a Jim Carrey
simpler
film.
Simpler days.
So I loved it when I was a kid, and then that was just enriched and enforced for me by moving sort of to university. And there was other, you know, there was other Adam Sandler films as well, but this is the main one that I think about, was always quoting to each other and stuff like that. And I wouldn't call myself a huge Adam Sandler fan now, but there was, you know, I do think there was a time when it was on a real solid run through the late 90s where he had, you know, Big Daddy, Happy Gilmore, The Wedding Singer. There's other ones as well that, like, I'm not a big fan of, like, Little Nicky, but I know a lot of people are, stuff like that. So, yeah, so I do have a lot of affection for this film. Because have you seen, other than Rain Over Me and this, have you seen many Adam Sandler films?
You know what? I was thinking about this as I was watching it. So I have seen 50 First Dates, and I don't mind that. I think I've seen Click, and I didn't mind that too much either. But then beyond that, I don't think I have seen that many Adam Sandler films, or not ones that I can remember now anyway.
No, because I do think he gets a bad reputation for making the same film over and over again. And he has made a lot of films that I don't particularly like. You know, we did That's My Boy. I really, really didn't like that, but other people do. You know, it's subjective. You can like what you like, but I think he went on a really solid run late 90s, early 2000s. And then I do think it probably it fell off for me after Click. Outside of, you know, I mean, in terms of comedy, because obviously he made Punch Drunk Love, which is very well renowned. He made Rain Over Me, which we loved. But in terms of comedies, you know, you got post Click, and then you're getting into the Netflix stuff. And when he made that deal of £100 billion a film or whatever it was, he made ridiculous amounts of money, because he is still one of Hollywood's most bankable stars.
Right. Yeah.
There's a reason why he's getting 15 million quid a film.
Yeah, nice.
Because he definitely has his fans out there.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah.
I reckon he's probably got some international appeal as well, because it's broad, isn't it? It's broad humour. It's quite understandable. Like Mr. Bean. Yeah. I think that's a good comparison. Okay, fab. Well, let's get to it then. What are some of the things that you love about Big Daddy?
Yeah, so I think overall I really like the sort of execution, the use of genre, the emotional journey. There is an emotional journey at the heart of this. It is formulaic. I'm not denying it's formulaic, that idea of, you know, a guy who needs to grow up, looks after a kid, and that helps him grow up, and, you know, the friends we made along the way and all that sort of stuff. But I like the balance in this of comedy and drama. There is a real tragic undertone through the film. You know, that idea of Julian, who's the little boy who is with him, is with him because he's lost his mum. And it's not really got into, but there is a tragic reason why he comes to his doorstep. And I like that you get it. I suppose what I'm saying is that it's a good formula. It's a reused formula, but I think it's done really well in terms of, you see a real sort of tangible character journey in a world that to me feels a little bit more fleshed out. So I think you feel like the characters were friends before it started, and they, you know, were friends after it. I feel like it's that thing we've talked about, like, before when we did You've Got Mail and other stuff like that, where you talk about, this isn't a world that was created just for the film. Obviously, it helps that it's very much rooted in New York, so it feels real because of that. But all the characters in it have history with each other, and they talk about the time, because they all went to know each other, because they basically all went to law school together. And Adam Sandler's character is just sort of a bit of a waster, because we basically got knocked over by a taxi. And he lives off the settlement off that. By playing the stock market is basically what they say. But they don't really go into that much. So I like that. I like that journey of seeing him grow as a person. It might sound a little bit cheesy, but what I realised in this, which I don't think you get in many other films, is I feel like you see real consequences of his actions. So it starts with him raising Julian, and he basically lets him do what he wants and live how he wants and be called how he wants. And about two-thirds of the way through, you see that that isn't working, and that there's a reason why he needs to be parented, and there's a reason why he needs rules and discipline and stuff like that. And it does hit home. It's not just like, it's not played for laughs. There is that thing of him having a meeting with a teacher, and the teacher being like, he's, you know, he's basically doing all these things. And they start off as being played for comedy, And then he realizes that actually what he's done is he's let him become the smelly kid in class.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. And I quite like that. I quite like that sort of those little emotional beats that they put in there that make Sonny, which is Adam Sandler's character's name, grow up. And I don't feel like you always get that journey and get that development in comedies like this. And along the way, I think it's heartwarming. I do think it's pretty heartwarming. I think it is funny. I think it's a good comedy. I think there's some good jokes in there. Yeah, performances-wise as well, I think Adam Sandler's great in this. I think he's a great everyman. This is one of his more down-to-earth performances where he's playing someone who feels like a real person. If you think about even things like Happy Gilmore or even things like The Wedding Singer, they're quite stylized performances or they're quite stylized worlds, whereas this is, and I've not seen Uncut Gems, but it feels like this is the most real character he's played in a comedy. Perhaps it's different now. I've not seen all his films, but you know, often he plays sort of quite wacky characters and stuff like that. So I like that. Thought all the supporting cast were great in this. They got Leslie Mann in there. She's really good. They play off against each other well. Joey Lauren Adams, who was one of those actors who was like in a load of stuff in the late 90s and then isn't in anything anymore. Well, not anything that I've seen anyway. And then, the twins who play Julian, who are Cole and Dylan Sprouse, who I think have gone on to be Disney kids.
Mm-hmm.
They play a 5-year-old very well. Yeah, I think there's lots to like in there. Like you say, it's not changing the world of cinema. It's not a Kubrick film or a Kurosawa or anything like that. But I think there's a heartwarming comedy there with likable characters, a decent journey, and it's heartwarming. And I think it's not as bad as the critics treated it. So that's pretty much what I like about it. What about you then? Because you thought it was okay. You know, you seem more good than bad is the impression I'm getting.
Yeah, correct. You'd be right there. So I do. I mean, I agree with a lot of what you said there. So I really like the concept and the story. It's a little bit like this coming of age story, but for a 30-year-old man, as he finally gets that shove into maturity. I do think Adam Sandler is great in this. And I actually really like Sonny as a character because he's really likable in some ways and then seriously flawed in other ways. Yeah. So he feels like a real person because he's quite a good mix of the two things. And it's an interesting exploration about how certain personality traits or attitudes can be really useful and helpful in some ways when it comes to parenting, but then detrimental in others. Like very often he's super chill with Julian, like he gives him options, he doesn't get mad at him about wetting the bed or throwing up in the apartment and stuff like that, and that's all really positive and really good. But he's also not setting up any boundaries or any proper structure, and I quite like seeing both sides of that, and it helps to make the story and the characters feel a bit more real. And it's interesting how like some of his ignorance around parenting actually makes him a better role model and quite a positive presence for Julian to be around in some cases, because he is really relaxed and he doesn't really make him feel bad about anything. And I really appreciated that. I love the aesthetic of his apartment.
Yeah.
Like I love the layout. I love the
not a barn conversion, like a loft conversion.
Yeah, I just loved it. I love the colours. I love the layout, just like the general shape and the design of the whole thing. Like, I didn't really know what it was, but I was looking at it and I was like, oh, that's cool. There's something quite, I don't know, like quite atmospheric about that. I think you probably saw a lot of that sort of stuff, sort of late 90s New York films and sitcoms. The bedrooms and stuff.
It's almost like the bedrooms are on like little tree houses.
Yeah, fun, right? Similar to... there was something similar going on in So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, yeah.
Where one of the characters had something similar. And I was like, that looks fun. Like, that looks like going to bed is fun. So I really like that. I did think that some of it was quite funny in like a low stakes sort of way.
I was
going
to ask you if you thought it was funny.
I did think that some of it was. And there's a few good gags in there, like repeatedly using the newspaper to hide the messes. Like after the third or fourth time, I did start laughing at that because it was like, I love that that's just his solution to everything. And then when Julian asks him for a nightlight and he pulls out like the live nudes neon sign, or it says something like that, doesn't it? Something inappropriate, but that was quite amusing. And then just the final couple of things as well. So I thought the soundtrack was pretty enjoyable and worked really well with the film. Steve Buscemi, who was really fun in this, he popped up and I really enjoyed his performance. And I really liked the ending because I didn't think it was that predictable and it wasn't what I was expecting at all. Like I thought that everything would work in Sonny's favour, that he'd get to keep the kid and they'd live happily ever after sort of thing.
Yeah.
But that isn't what happens. And it really surprised me. And I liked that. And I appreciated that it wasn't predictable.
I'd forgotten about that.
Did you? Yeah. So what were you expecting?
I was trying to find my dislikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I, so So my thought was...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I couldn't. I knew he didn't end up adopting him, but I didn't. I'd forgotten that the judge, like, obviously at the end, originally that was, I believe, written to be completely serious, and then they changed it so that all the blokes in the audience phone their dads.
Yeah.
And
then
the judge sort of comes in and goes, what are you all talking about? You kidnapped a child, basically.
Yeah.
But obviously he doesn't, because of the way the American legal system works, the dad doesn't press charges because the dad's his roommate. So it sort of doesn't go anywhere. But like you say, I really appreciate the fact that it's like, well, no, he still did something wrong. So you can't adopt this kid. But it's that sort of compromise where everyone wins at the end because he gets to stay in his life, but he's just not his dad.
Yeah, but then the roommate, what was
Kevin.
John Stewart's character?
John Stewart, Kevin
yeah.
Garrity, yeah.
And Leslie Mann, and then like the kids calling Leslie Mann's character mum and stuff. So, you know, that's all ended very nicely.
Yeah.
It just hasn't ended how you would expect it to, and maybe not exactly how Sonny wanted it to.
Mm.
But I enjoyed that because I thought, because, you know, like you said, some of it's quite formulaic, maybe a little bit predictable, but that really wasn't, I thought. So I thought that was really impressive. We'll move on now then to talking about anything that we didn't like about the film or perhaps anything that we would change. So, Josh, you know, I know you've got a strong emotional connection to this film, but you're a reasonable human being. So go on. What are you thinking for this?
Yeah, so I have one or two things that I didn't like and two things I would change. So in terms of things I didn't like, I suppose there's no... Yeah, so first of all, we've already touched on a little bit. It is a bit formulaic. It's a bit by the numbers. I don't mind that, but if you're coming in and watching it now, I think you'd be thinking this is, you know, it's the same old thing that we've seen from that, particularly that time period. The other thing, I suppose, there's no way around it, is that Sonny is a bit of a scumbag. Like, I was sort of right in my notes going, well, he's not that bad because actually, like you said, he feels real because he's got good qualities and bad qualities. But then equally, there are bits where he's particularly sort of bit misogynistic. He does use Julian to try and chat up someone who he then marries and has a kid with, but he still uses Julian to try and chat up a woman, which is a bit, you know, a bit weird. So I suppose there's no way around that. Those are my dislikes. Do you want to say what you didn't like, or shall I tell you the two things I'd change?
I'll let you know what I dislike.
Go on,
and then we'll go on to you. So I do think, so there are some positive attitudes in this towards gay people, which I thought was a surprise to see in a yes. film from this time. However, the sort of counterpoint to that is that I do think there are some quite negative attitudes towards women. And I especially wasn't a fan of the idea that working in Hooters is something to be ashamed of. Now, Sonny makes the same joke over and over to Leslie Mann's character about the fact that she worked in Hooters, and it wasn't funny the first time, and it still wasn't funny the 100th time. He really just labours the point, and there wasn't loads of pushback from the other characters about what he was saying, and he didn't really get called out on it enough, in my opinion. Now, I like all types of humour, and there is definitely a place for humour that pushes boundaries and that can be shocking and controversial. That's fine. But if you're going to do that, my rule is that your jokes need to be good, smart, and actually funny. And all the Hooters jokes just weren't. They just felt a bit lazy. It was just like having jabs at women, and I could have done without it, to be honest. I thought that parts of the opening sequence were quite poorly written, so there's just this huge exposition dump of a conversation that happens between Sonny and Vanessa. It happens with him and Vanessa as well. And it almost verbatim goes, I'm an ambitious party planner trying to make it in the big city, and I'm heading out to an important client meeting now, and someday I want to start a family. But you've never been the same since the accident you had 2 years ago, and you don't have a job, and I think you're lazy and immature, and that bothers me. And I love a bit of show, don't tell. And because this was so lacking in the opening of the film, it did have me thinking, oh God, is this what this is going to be? And is this going to be difficult to watch? But it did get better from that point on. And then just finally, but this is neither a like or a dislike, but it's just something I wanted to mention. Now, I know this isn't, but it does kind of feel like everyone's first film. Like, it feels like the writer's first film, it feels like the director's first film, it feels like the actor's first film. Like, everything about it feels a little bit basic, and at times the story is a little bit messy and unsure of itself and where it's going, and the conversations don't feel super succinct, or terrifically written. And I suppose I just didn't find many aspects of the film that sophisticated. But like I said, it's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think it was maybe a contributing factor to my sort of lukewarm response to the film, shall we say. But that's everything for me on that.
I think I'll take a lot of that. I think that's fair. I think that's fair enough. I think a lot of that is it's a victim of its time.
I would agree with that, for sure. So what are the things that you would change
There's two things I've never noticed before, but watching it with a critical eye, obviously you try and pick up on
when you notice something for the first time.
There's two. So the first one is, obviously, it's the whole thing is that Sonny is lazy, but he doesn't need to work because he won a settlement where he can earn enough money that he can sort of play the stock market and live comfortably, which in New York, you know, even at the time, must have been loads and loads of money. Does it say how much it was? Is it like $2 million or something like that?
The settlement.
It says it was quite a lot.
It was only $200,000.
But if it's 2 years ago, I suppose you could live comfortably off that for, well, what, 4 years or something like that?
Well, like the investing side of it as well. Like, if he's making money off it.
But before then, obviously he's been to law school, and it's hinted that he's a bit of a protege because his dad's an amazing lawyer, all his friends are lawyers. And then it's hinted at the end when you see that he is now a lawyer. He's been and passed the bar exam and he's a lawyer. And it shows. So the way it's hinted at is they're all talking at the surprise party at the beginning, and two of his friends who are talking about how busy they are and they're sleeping at the office say, I haven't been able to figure this out. And he, like, without skipping a beat, just says, try this. And he goes, oh, you're the king, and leaves. So it's like, all right, so he is a better lawyer than the practicing lawyer. So he was obviously so switched on. So I said to my other half, well, why is he meant to be so unmotivated just because he had an accident? And she just said, well, it's probably not that deep, is it? It's just that he has to be lazy for the comedy side of it and the journey side of it to work, that he doesn't need to work, so he doesn't work. But I think if someone is that good at something, that they have that knowledge in their head years later, that they can advise their friends who are presumably further ahead than them, you wouldn't just lose that motivation. So I would maybe have liked to see a little bit more about why is he so unmotivated? Do you know what I mean? Again, it's not as deep as that. He's just meant to be lazy, but it doesn't match up with it also being a legal protege sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that was the first one. My interpretation
was sort of two things. The first one was that obviously there was a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like his dad is probably putting a lot of pressure on him to do this, do that, and be this way. But then when you see him in his natural state, like, he is a bit gross. He does just want to, like, wear kind of jerseys and, yeah, and yeah. eat cereal and all that thing. Like, and he's sort of reverted almost back to a childlike state where he wants to just feel that freedom. And yeah. because of the payout, that gave him the opportunity to do that. So that's what he's done. But then obviously towards the end of the film, he realizes, oh, well, if I actually, you know, I'm missing out on some of the really important parts of life because of this, because I haven't matured, sort of thing. And then the other thing, like, I mean, the accident, we don't know sort of how bad or how not bad that was, but it might have really affected his mental health and his confidence.
Well, I suppose the only thing we know is that he says, so Vanessa says a cab ran over your foot and you spent one night in the hospital.
Yeah, but I feel like that's...
First of all, that cab was huge.
Well, it's sort of diminishing his feelings about it.
Yeah,
and it's like,
Wouldn't happen now, would it? As in, if you made this now, I don't think it'd be that he'd been... It wouldn't be an accident that would be trivialised.
Right, yeah. It'd be something else. I see what you mean. Like, it's still, he still was in an accident, and you don't know how, if, especially if nothing had ever, like that had ever happened to him before, you don't know how you're going to react in that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, that's true. If you made it now, it would be that you'd won money and something else, wouldn't it? Like, you bit into a sandwich and there was a nail in it or something, you know, something that didn't hurt you, but was just
kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But that was my sort of interpretation of it, anyway.
That was the first thing. And the second thing, this isn't really one that is, it's not arguable, really. I've never noticed before that at the end, it finishes, Julian goes to live with Kevin, and it cuts to about something like a year and 3 months later.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Sonny's birthday. He's now a practicing lawyer. They meet at a Hooters and they have some sort of, you know, buffet on for him and stuff like that. And he's got a newborn baby, which means he's met Layla. And in a year and 3 months, it doesn't say they're married, so forget that bit. But they've had a baby and he's passed the bar exam. I mean, Jesus, that's a busy 15 months, isn't it?
Yeah. It's a very short amount of time to decide to have a child with someone.
If that was 3 years, you'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah,
do you know what
that I mean? Makes more like, sense, yeah.
And they're not, you know, they're not, there's no age issues or anything like that. It says that they're sort of early 30s. So I'd never noticed just how weird that ending is in terms of the fact that it is so quick. But, you know, to each his own. It was just something I noticed. So we'll move on to talking about the critical reception in a moment. But first, Alice, I believe you're going to take us on a journey.
I am indeed, Josh, and listeners, prepare yourselves. We are going to go down the rabbit hole for this segment that I'm going to call Alice Down the Rabbit Hole. So... For this edition of Alice Down the Rabbit Hole, we're going to take a look at the lives and careers of the two boys who played Julian, Cole and Dylan Sprouse. Often referred to as the Sprouse Bros, the two were born in Italy in 1992, with Dylan allegedly being named after Welsh poet Dylan Thomas. Their acting debut came at just 8 months old when they starred in an advert for Nappies. Big Daddy was their first major feature film, and this was followed by several television appearances by the two of them, and many of you may recognise Cole Sprouse in Friends, where he plays Ross's son, Ben. Work was steady for a few years, with the two being cast in the same roles to help studios out with the child labor laws, and eventually the two struck gold when they got picked up by the Disney Channel, where they actually got to act alongside each other in The Sweet Life of Zack and Cody. Though they remained active in the industry, Cole once said that the entertainment industry in very many ways encourages the worst qualities of you as a person, which could be why they turned their attention to other things such as studying archaeology and video game design at university and became ambassadors for the Koyamada International Foundation, whose mission is to improve quality of life by empowering global youth and women to reach their full potential. As for right now, well, Cole has three upcoming projects, including one called Lisa Frankenstein, funnily enough, you know, because of the film. And Dylan has a couple of his own, including a film called Beautiful Wedding. And do you know who the line producer is on that film, Josh? Well, it's none other than Deborah Moore, who was the executive in charge of production for Above the Rim, which was another film that we covered back in 2021. And that was Alice Down the Rabbit Hole.
Little look at the old Sprouse brothers. Frankenstein.
Yeah, that's gold. That is rabbit hole gold
It is.
We'll move on now then to talking about the critical reception. Now, Josh picked this because he reckons it's underrated, and he said that critically it did not do very well. So,
How do you think it did, and what would you give it?
I mean, I'd probably give this a 6. like maybe bang on.
Average daddy.
Yeah. And then if you've got a lot of affection for this.
I do, yeah.
You think it's underrated, but you're also quite, you know, you can be quite objective about things.
I'm a reasonable guy.
If you think it didn't do well, I'm going to say that it got, I'm going to say a 5.5.
That's what you think it got?
Flat. Yeah.
And you give like it a sort of a 6.
I'd give it a 6. So a maybe 6. If it got a 5.5, that would be a little bit underrated. Yeah, so go on, hit me with it.
Okay. So at the time of recording, over on IMDb, it gets a 6.4.
Okay.
Okay, not so bad. No, it's not, you know, I would rate it higher, but it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. Over on Rotten Tomatoes, the audience give it a generous 74%.
Whoa!
But the critics give it 39%. So for me, now that averages out. If you work out the average, it's 59%, right?
Oh, hey, it was kind of close.
Which is
yeah.
more or less what you gave it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, the decided thing is always the critics, isn't it? That's why I picked it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's hugely underrated, particularly the critics. Okay. I think 59% as an average is underrated.
Okay.
But I think a critic score, I think that's really, really harsh. I mean, in terms of what I'd give this, I'm sort of swayed by nostalgia because part of me is like an 8, but being more objective, I think you're probably closer with a 6.5, 7 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I would give it. I'd give it higher, but trying to be more objective, I think I'd be, you know, I think if you averaged it out, I think that'd be fair enough, 6.5 maybe. But I think that's underrated. What do you think?
The criticals, that 39%, I do think that's
hard.
Pretty low. Yeah. And I do think that is very harsh. And I would definitely say that that's underrated. But the average score across the board is probably like bang on for me, really. So I will say critically underrated, but in general, probably appropriately rated for me,
appropriate
Josh.
Daddy.
Yes. Good.
I think we can say underrated daddy for that.
Okay, go on then. Yeah. We'll give it to you.
Well, there we go then. Big Daddy is underrated. Give it a watch if you want a little heartwarming film about a man and a boy that make each other better men and boys and all that shit.
You love to see it.
You do. We will be back next week with another film. If you'd like to get in touch with us in the meantime, it's filmsandthatpod@gmail.com. We're on all the social medias. If you just search just films and that, you'll find us on Facebook, Twitter, X, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We're on Patreon as well. If you head into the notes for the episode description down below, you'll find our Patreon. All tiers include early access to episodes, bonus content, extended episodes, ad-free episodes, and all that. If you'd like to support us, then click the link below, and any support you can give us, we massively appreciate it. We're also on the television, aren't we, Alice?
We are indeed. Every Friday from 6 p.m. you can find us on the local TV network talking about all our favourite underrated and underseen films. So what that means is if you live in Birmingham, Bristol, Leeds, Liverpool or the northeast of England, you can find us on Channel 7 on Freeview. Or if you live in North Wales or South Wales, you can find us on Channel 8 on Freeview. I'm also uploading all the videos to Dailymotion, so if you want to check out what exactly it is that we're doing, head on over there, type in Just Films in that, and our beautiful faces will come up on your screen. You lucky, lucky folks.
Yes, lots of ways to see us, hear us, get in touch with us. But as ever, thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. It's goodbye from me. Cheerio.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.